Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. You can find one or more Free Reformed Churches in this station's listening area. And now, the Banner of Truth with Pastor Hans Overduun, the minister of the Calgary Free Reformed Church.
Dear friends, Psalm 103 is among the greatest and most favored of all the Psalms. One preacher once wrote about this Psalm, Psalm 103, it's a divine chain of mountains of praise to God. And now in this Psalm of praise, we find also these words in the verses 13 and 14 of the Psalm, which we want to reflect on in this message. Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Oh, how good just to think about these two verses. And we do so now under the theme, such comforting verses for God's people. Notice the following four ways at least that these verses speak such comforting words for God's people. For one, just think of the comparison made here. What is the comparison David makes? He tells us God the Lord is like a dear father who pities his children. The word pity today can have a negative meaning, but in the text, David means it here only in a positive way. God is as a father who has great care and tender compassion for his children. One Bible version translates Psalm 103, verse 13 this way, as tenderly as a father treats his children, so Yahweh, or Jehovah God, treats those who fear him. In other words, David here is looking for a picture of how loving and caring and faithful and compassionate God is for his people, and to make it as clear as possible, he uses this comparison, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. The meaning is, as a beloved father in a family home most kindly and gently cares about and provides for each of his children, so, says David, in a similar way, is God as father to all his people. Indeed, the gospel truth is that God as Father, in his fatherly love and care, exceeds the best of fathers here on earth in family life, in an infinite measure even. It is good to stop a moment to think about this reality. The whole concept of father, in the best possible way you might imagine it, is not something from us, something that originated with us, but actually it comes from God himself. And is designed by God from the time of creation for us. God is the Father of creation and of all created beings. And he, as triune God, is the eternal Father of his only begotten beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And he is the gracious adopted Father for all his people belonging to Christ. So in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3, we read these wonderful words of praise from the Apostle Paul. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. How precious too is this whole concept of God being as most tender Father to his children who fear him. His children who fear him means those who reverence and respect God, that is, those who trust and follow him, who, in fact, repent of sin and believe on him. Isn't it beautiful the way God comes down to our level here to make clear what kind of God he truly is for his people? In the Bible, you will find the Lord compared to a dear mother comforting her children, to a bridegroom most loving and caring beyond words for his bride, to a brother born for adversity, and to a friend who loves at all times. In the New Testament, when Paul wants to assure the Christians in Thessalonica of his great love and care and devotion towards them as minister of the gospel and as ambassador of Christ to them, Do you know what he says then in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 7? But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. And he means there, as a nursing mother. And then he adds in verse 11, and ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged you or ministered to you as a father does to his children. Here let me ask each of you, what is your view of God? The comparison point of our text is that God is described here as better than the best and most tender and kind and helpful of fathers any one of us could ever wish for. As stated in a Psalter's song based on Psalm 103, verse 13, God is telling us here, listen, the tender love a father has for all his children dear, such love the Lord bestows on them who worship him in fear. Oh, I say then in Jesus' name now, dear friends, shouldn't this comparison by itself so attract and draw you and me to the Lord, maybe even for a first time, or else again and again and again? The God of the Bible is not some hateful tyrant, nor a self-centered, uncaring, unfair being, but he is love-excelling and full of tender care and kindness abounding, most genuinely and graciously and generously so. This is what David experienced in his life, and he writes about it in this prized, precious Psalm 103 for all to agree and praise God about with him. And do you know the best proof of what David says in this verse in the comparison he makes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? Well, think of the Lord Jesus, the only begotten, eternally beloved Son of God, his Father. In Proverbs 8, verse 30, in poetic terms, we are told something of how Jesus enjoyed his Father, speaking of being daily his Father's delight and rejoicing always before him. And it is in the Gospel accounts, in particular, especially in the Gospel of John, that we learn of the precious, most intimate bond of perfect love between God the Father and God the Son. All love excelling is found within the Trinity between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Indeed, the full gospel truth is that God, as covenant God of grace for his people and their seed, is so infinitely and incomparably loving and tender and caring towards those who fear him. Yes, in fact, no less than he always has been and forever is and will be towards his only begotten Son. For proof of this, just listen to Jesus' words in John 15, verse 9, when he says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. And then in chapter 17 of John, we hear Jesus pray in his high priestly prayer, even the night before his crucifixion, in verse 23b, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Love them, that is all who fear me, all my disciples, all my believing and repentant children. Love them as thou hast loved me. And then in the last verse of that chapter, verse 26, Jesus prays, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. When we belong to Christ, you and I, trusting him alone as our only Savior from sin and reconciler with God, then as Paul says in Romans 8, we may come to God, having received the Spirit of adoption, and crying out to him in all our needs for soul and body, with spiritual life, family life, work life, and whatever we face, we may go to God crying, Abba, Father. Jesus taught so also his disciples. When we pray to God, we may and are to come to him in Jesus' name, saying what? Saying, Our Father, who art in heaven. And this we may know and be reminded of now, this most comforting truth in our text. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. There is no more understanding and welcoming and caring and loving and compassionate and forgiving and encouraging father in all the world than God the Father is for us sinful people still here on earth when fearing the Lord and trusting and following Jesus Christ as only Savior and Lord. Compared to all false religions, which tell of cold, lifeless stone and iron, wooden, single, unfeeling, ever-demanding idol gods, unresponsive, oh, the one true God. He is the ever-living and the eternal triune God, throbbing always with endless love and moved every day anew with compassion for a sinful and needy people, a guilty, hopeless people in ourselves. Ah, isn't this great news, I ask you? Yes, not only in view of the comparison made here, but secondly, consider the Christ focus of the text, too. The Christ focus, as promised and only Savior of sinners, is clearly implied in the text. When you think of what is said just before the verses 13 and 14, and what is said right afterwards. Just before, David tells of God's abundant, gracious, and free forgiveness of all his people's sins when confessing our sins and sinfulness to him. With the Lord is forgiveness of sins in a way that is so merciful and so abundant and so sure and forever. David very much needed this God of forgiveness in his own life too, didn't he? And that forgiveness of God. Oh, he needed it. And don't we all need God's forgiveness of sin? And this one only God who can forgive sin? Let us be honest now. We are fallen, guilty sinners from our conception. And in our lives, our sins are more than any one of us can ever count. This is the fact, without exception. In Psalm 130, verse 4 and 5, the same psalmist David confesses, "If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But," he says, "there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." Well, we know the whole message of the Bible is exactly this. God's righteous and perfect, endless forgiveness of sins for us is all in and through the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ. He is that Lamb of God offered up on Golgotha to take away the sins of the world. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, we are told in 1 John 1, verse 7. It's because of Christ that God can freely and justly forgive us our sins when we confess them to him. So are verses 13 and 14 of Psalm 103, speaking of God as our dear Father who so cares for his children, points to Christ Jesus. Yes, who by his redeeming work reconciles sinners to God and made a way by God the Father's appointment even to make room for sinners like us to be saved and to be adopted as God's dear children for Jesus' sake alone. And you see, this is all pointed to in the text, not only by the verses of God's forgiveness before our texts, but in the verses afterwards where David speaks to of God's covenant mercies. God in the covenant of grace has ordained and would and did accomplish a way of salvation, rich and free. A way of salvation, indeed, where we may be delivered from the wrath of God that we justly deserve of ourselves. And instead, praise God, experience, as David says in verse 17 to 18, the mercy of the Lord from everlasting to everlasting to them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. This gracious and glorious way of salvation, dear friends, is ultimately and completely found, the whole Bible teaches us, in Christ Jesus, the crucified and risen Savior of sinners, the one mediator of the covenant of grace. He, as substitute for sinners, paid the punishment for sin due to us. And by his stripes and his perfect righteousness, all who fear the Lord, trusting and following Christ as only Savior and Lord, are forever reconciled to God, and may have him then as dear Heavenly Father. That is the precious gospel message. And isn't it truly always most amazing and endlessly astounding? Think it through, how that God would give up his only begotten, eternally beloved Son, give him up to be crucified, for to save sinners like us. and that Jesus was so willing also to lay down his life, even to the death of the cross, sinners to save, and that the Holy Spirit so anointed Jesus and equipped him too for his perfect once-for-all sacrifice Jesus would give. Oh, it's all so infinitely wonderful and astoundingly gracious. We read even in Isaiah 53, verse 10, "It pleased the Lord, as faithful covenant-keeping God, to bruise him, his own beloved Son. He has put him to grief." Why? That all undeserving sinners like ourselves, all his elect people, as many as repent of sin and believe in Christ, might be spared the wrath of God and be saved for now and forevermore. Oh, truly, as Newton said, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Don't you agree, dear friends? Still, there is more yet to tell, bringing out how Psalm 103, verse 13 to 14, are such comforting verses for God's people. Not just is it so with the comparison made and the Christ focus implied, but consider the consolation given here too. Now I'm thinking especially of verse 14. "The Lord will be as a father pities his children toward us." And get this, "He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust." Oh, isn't this telling us the Lord God knows what we are made of and what we can handle and how weak and frail we are in ourselves? God understands everything about us in regards to our mind and our body and our heart and our thoughts and our fears and our challenges. There's nothing unknown about us from God. After all, he created us. And as Psalm 139 teaches, he knows us through and through, from our conception till the end of our lives. How good to be reminded of this, don't you think? Imagine having a caregiver who totally understands your character, your needs, your worries, your hopes, your struggles, your dreams, your sins and shortcomings, your temptations and trials, your longings and prayers, your stage in life, whether young boy or girl or teenager or adult, married or single, or getting older. God understands everything. So God is for his people. He knows our frame. He remembers we are dust. Haven't you sometimes said, even maybe to your closest loved ones, "I wish you would understand what I feel about this and what I'm going through right now, but I don't think you can since you are not in my shoes." But can anyone ever say that about the Lord God? No, never. Not even with what you are going through right now, whatever it may be. Maybe it's a divorce. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one. Maybe it's sickness. The Lord knows our frame. When perhaps mother and father, spouse or sibling or best friend might not understand, yet the Lord knows our frame, and he remembers we are dust. These words imply what we read in Isaiah 40 about God toward us. There is no searching, there is no limit of his understanding towards us. How much greater is a person's compassion towards someone when really understanding and identifying with what a person is going through? Well, truly, there's no one like God in this regard, dear friends. And again, just saying this gives reason to point to Jesus once more. The gospel message is that in the fullness of time, God sent his Son into this world, and Jesus became man and lived in this sinful world in the likeness of sinful flesh, so identifying with us, living in this sin-cursed, fallen world. He always remained perfectly without sin, but God in Christ knows about the sinfulness of sin and the evil of sin as he personally witnessed it and suffered from it against himself. Immeasurably so, even, all his time when here on earth. So we read about Jesus in Hebrews 4, about God's people having in Christ not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but rather one who was in all points tempted and tried like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, says the inspired author of Hebrews. And again, then, do you see it with me? What a comforting gospel truth this all is, wouldn't you say? This is the best news you can find, the gospel tidings of Jesus Christ. And it holds for God's people in all of life, in any generation, whatever circumstance and need you and I may find ourselves. It holds true, in fact, even in the valley of the shadow of death. For Jesus gone before us there too, to transform that as well for all his people. For he knows our frame, and he remembers we are dust. How beautiful in this regard too is the special gospel promise in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13. Do you know what Paul says there? Oh, to have God triune, this God as everlasting Father, so for us and with us and by us, with his everlasting arms underneath us in all our weakness and frailty and need, spiritually and physically and mentally and emotionally, isn't that gospel truth most comforting indeed? I remind you again, God's own beloved Son as sin-bearer was left forsaken of God, that we might never be forsaken. God knew the frame of his own Son, and how he, as divinely sent and equipped Savior, the Son of Man, God incarnate, could and would bear the full punishment for sin in a perfect way, with eternal fruit for all his people. For sure, it is all just so gracious and so good and so kind and so blessed gospel tidings, even for the chief of sinners who repents and believes on the Lord, who fears his holy name in spirit and truth. What if you are one who will not repent of sin and refuses to trust and follow the Lord and his gospel word? Well, then you can't really know nor have the comfort that our two verses tell about and the great gospel consolation these texts declare. Those who will live on in sin and in rejection of Christ Jesus remain under God's just wrath. Then you will most certainly come under the Lord's eternal curse and condemnation in hell forevermore, if there's no repentance from sin and faith in God. You see, if you despise and reject God's covenant of grace as revealed in Christ, the crucified and risen Savior, you are on your own, and you live and die then in your sins, without any remedy and no hope of salvation, and therefore no place in heaven either. But God still calls to lost, guilty, vile, rebellious sinners today. Come to the Savior and make no delay. God's word tells us God triune has no delight in the death of the wicked, but rather that we all turn from our sins and seek and serve the Lord. So the Lord still sends out his servants to urge people to repent and be converted before it is forever too late. I pray God, no one listening now to this broadcast will turn their back on the earnest, loving gospel call of Jesus Christ, the one and only Savior of sinners. Listen, the Lord knows our frame, and he remembers that we are dust, and how blessed always to be in his care and keeping as the apple of his eye. That is David's testimony in Psalm 103, and all true Christians so love this psalm for its gospel truth and rich comfort from the first verse to the last. Will you be led and guided by God the Father today, even the Father of mercies and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and God of all comfort? Isn't this David's gospel call by the Holy Spirit to all the world, also with the writing and testimony of Psalm 103 in the Holy Bible? There's still one more reason, too, worthy of mention yet, that confirms our theme on the verses 13 and 14 as being texts so comforting for God's people. Not just the comparison made in these verses and the Christ-focused implied and the consolation given, but also fourthly consider the characteristic here so promoted. I mean the gracious, precious characteristic of showing compassion and tender love to others. Oh, in our fallen, sinful world, how often don't we see and hear of terrible and awful examples of people showing the exact opposite of compassion and love, and instead being filled with murderous hate and anger and brutal violence against others? The devil and sinful mankind left to himself and our ungodly world rejecting God's word is becoming increasingly unjust and without compassion and genuine care and love towards others. But in the Christian faith and the Christian way, when led and taught by the Lord and filled with His Word and Spirit, oh, it results in God's people being so caring and becoming so caring and loving, even towards their enemies. And without question, something history so proves too, what a blessing God's true people are by God's grace and Spirit in any society and community with Jesus' love in their minds and hearts. Even the most ungodly and wicked have to acknowledge this when honest. How beautiful too when this is known, especially in family life, this characteristic of showing compassion and love. When dads, whatever their character otherwise, are yet so gentle while firm, so compassionate while clear, so loving while leading, so tender while teaching, so humble while mentoring, so amiable while admonishing, and so pained when disciplining their children. This is something learned from God and living in union and fellowship with Christ, the Savior, being truly and rightly compassionate and always genuinely and wisely caring towards our own children and those around us is not something natural for us sinful people, but it is learned by God's grace in the school of Christ, the same school David attended as man after God's own heart, living in the fear of the Lord. In the gospel way alone, there's hope for true and more sincere love and godly compassion and holy care for people in our families and in our churches and in our communities and in our schools and in our hospitals and nursing homes and in our prisons and refugee camps and throughout this whole wide world. Let me end now then just repeating our two texts, telling of such comforting words for God's people. Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Psalm 103, verse 13 and 14. Thank you, Lord God Triune, for this splendid good news, these gospel tidings in and through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one and only Savior of sinners. Amen. Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are most welcome to come to our services. To learn about the Free Reformed Churches in your area, check our website at www.frcna.org. Again, www.frcna.org. If you have been blessed by this message, or you would like a free copy of today's broadcast, you can write to The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. That's The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. We are always glad to hear from our listeners. And now, until next week, the Lord be with you all.
For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches of North America, visit our website at www.frcna.org. These radio messages are also being posted on the Internet and can be downloaded for free. Visit www.sermonaudio.com and search on the Banner of Truth. Please join us again next week for the Banner of Truth broadcast.